Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon. This is Diva JC here on Blog Talk Radio, Music Woman Radio. And this is our 280th show. We're coming up on the 10th year of Women in Jazz, South Florida. Actually, March 12th is our birthday. And we are celebrating today with our 311th member, Kat Riggins. And you just heard her sing her song, Blues is the New Black. And I think it's the old black, too. But we're going to get to that with Kat. In the meantime, be sure to visit our website, wijsf.com or .org. That's wijsf. As in Women in Jazz, South Florida. So welcome our new member and guest for today, Kat Riggins. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Joan. How are you?
I'm terrific and fired up.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And like you said, it's the old black, too, but people need to remind themselves of it. So.
So Kat, let us jump right into this interview. I have five questions, which I didn't send to you, but they're easy questions, okay? How did you come to music? As a little girl, how did you first come to music?
Well, music came to me. It was always there. It's always been a part of, I guess, a part of my family. I grew up in a big family in a small house, and there was always music playing in the background. So it just kind of felt like, you know, the music, the singers, the songs, they were all part of the family.
And did you study music? Did you go to school for music? Did you have
a teacher? Well, I didn't go to school for music until my freshman year in college, when I did take my major was musical theater, and I did a voice class. Other than that, there was really no schooling, no formal training, but everybody on my dad's side of the family was musically gifted, and either could sing or play some instrument. My mom's side of the family just loved to dance to the music, but we would always end up in these church programs or school programs, and in rehearsing for those shows. That's where I got my training, from just kind of diving in and becoming a part of those things.
Okay. All right. So you've done musical theater then?
Yes, I have. When I was younger, I did. And I loved it. I always went to art schools, like, you know, drawing and painting kind of art schools. And I was one of the few drama geeks in those schools that I went to. So, I was always in drama and in theater. And when I was younger, I was in a program called Voices United. And it was based out of Miami, where we, as children, as the youth, we wrote our own scripts. We wrote our own songs. We choreographed the dances. Everything was done by us, for us. And we performed for Dade County Public School kids at the James L. Knight Center in Miami. So that, in addition to, you know, growing up and moving on and going to college for musical theater. And I only did 1 year in college before, you know, the funds ran dry. But, you know, that's my musical theater background, but always more in a participating role than in the area where I was being educated to do it.
Okay, now you were born in Miami. Have you lived other places, or basically you've been in Florida?
Yes, I was born and raised in Miami, and now I'm in Fort Lauderdale, same thing. But I have had the honor of traveling around Southeast Asia and the Middle East. I left Miami in about 2010, and I moved to New Orleans. I did that for about a year, and then I got a gig singing with a top 40 cover band, and it was for a year and a half when we bounced around Southeast Asia. And each country that we went to, we stayed there for about 4 months. So I have had the pleasure to live in many, many places that were exotic and exciting and beautiful. But this is home.
Where did you live in China?
I lived in Beijing when I was in China. I went to Ho Chi Minh City. I lived for 2 months. I lived in Bangkok for 4 months, and Seoul, South Korea for 4 months. And I also lived in Abu Dhabi for 4 months. That was a trip.
That was a trip.
Yeah, man.
Tell us. We got time.
It's a beautiful place. Traveling with the music is always something that I've always wanted to do, and I love doing that. But actually living in those places, it goes beyond just going on tour and staying there for a couple nights and doing all that. You're getting to know people, you're making friends, you're going to their house for dinner and things like that. And I loved all of those places. I think one of my favorites was Thailand, but Abu Dhabi was a trip because it felt kind of like home where the weather was, but then the culture was so strong and so, obvious and adamant, and people were very, very proud of their faith and their culture, and you could tell where everyone stood as far as that's concerned. And then the fun part was that we ended up there, the end of our trip there, it was Ramadan, so I got to experience that in a Middle Eastern country, and it was so much fun because the way that they celebrate, and I didn't realize this when I was here, but learning, firsthand, the way they celebrate is very communal. Everybody pitches in to provide a free meal, after you, because from sun up to sundown, from dawn till dusk, you can't eat or drink anything. So when it's time to eat, everybody's providing something so that everybody can eat and everybody can be sustained and nobody pays anything. They have like these tents all over the city, and that was beautiful to me to see that kind of community, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when did you come back and start working in Fort Lauderdale?
Let's see. Okay, so I got back in 2013 or 2012. And I got mm-hmm. back, and I went back to bartending for a while, just so, you know, that was putting food on the table, but finding gigs on the side. And then in 2013, in August, is when I started full-time just singing and writing songs. So I got back, and I was working, and then I got with this band called Otis Cadillac from an ad on Craigslist, which is awesome. And they did everything that I love, and I'm still with that band on the side right now because they're like a family to me. But someone introduced me from a show that I did with Otis Cadillac. Someone introduced me to my guitar player and my bass player, and we started the band 3 years ago. The rest is history. Now we're Blues Revival and touring the world, trying to spread the blues and revive the blues one song at a time.
Okay. Now, talk about writing your own songs. How many songs have you written?
Oh, man, I can't even count. I have books and books of songs, but not all of them, of course, have been published. I did my first full-length CD called Lily Rose in 2012, and that was all originals on there. That was maybe 12 songs, and this, my brand-new album, Blues Revival, of the 10 songs on this album, I wrote 8 of them. And I love writing because it helps me. It helps me, obviously, it helps me express myself, but it helps me to share experiences with people, you know, that are either directly linked to me or indirectly, that I feel maybe somebody needs to hear that story. Maybe somebody needs to know that they're not the only one in that boat, you know?
Now, do you write the music and the lyrics, or you write the lyrics and then you get with your guitar player? How does that process work?
Yeah, that's exactly it. My process is I write the music and the melody. I write the lyrics and the melody, and I, you know, I dwell on that for some time before I bring it to my band. And then I bring it to my band, and we build the song around my music and my lyric and my melody.
You get the form from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a community, it's a family affair, you know. That's why I credited them, music writers on the CD, because I couldn't do it by myself. I come up with the idea and the melody, and I sing it to them, and then we kind of give the song its body together.
Right. So you pick the tempo. You say this is a up tempo blues or this is a slow blues.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
okay.
And then sometimes I say, you know, I want it to feel like this. Like for Devil is a Liar on the Blues Revival CD, I wanted it to feel swampy and moody and, you know, like that. So we'll go from there with the kind of groove that we want, you know. Or for Blues is the New Black, the one you just played, I wanted it to kind of feel gospel-y, you know, and I wanted it to be up tempo and like kind of high energy and foot stomping, hand clapping kind of thing. That was a celebration of the comeback of the blues. So
okay.
They get me. I got lucky. I have a band that, you know, they understand my craziness, and when I describe things with colors and stuff like that, they understand what I mean.
Right. Good. Okay. Now, what is? Okay. Do you have a publishing company?
No, I with the first CD, I submitted my music to a company that I found online, and they accepted it, and then they published it. That was called Tate Music Group. They started off as a book publishing company, so you might find them under Tate Publishing. And, you know, they help you with a lot of stuff, but a lot of it is out of your own pocket. This CD, Blues Revival, an agency based right here in South Florida called Blues Pick Media Group. They have been watching me since I got back to
Okay, if you're walking around, you're breaking up.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Jim, with this Blues Revival CD, Jim Nestor is the one who introduced me to Daryl Raines and George Caldwell, my bass player and my guitar player. Now, he's a co-owner of Blues Pig Media Group, and he had been watching me for a while, and when I said this time that I wanted to do a blues album, he got behind me on it. So he's the one responsible for funding that this project and publishing this album. I have a company per se, but I Blues Pig Media Group, my agency and my agent published it.
Okay, but let me tell you that you should be your own publisher.
Oh, as far as like the paperwork and all that is concerned, I'm with BMI as Kat Riggins Publishing.
Okay.
And you know, yeah, so I do have that, and all of my music is registered under me. So I'm doing that, and that was at the suggestion of my agent. But I'm sorry, I think I misunderstood. I think I misunderstood as far as what you meant by that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly
writers
what he suggested.
Is one thing. Publisher is the other, and the publisher is the one that makes the money, not the writer.
Yeah, yeah. He explained all of that to me because, you know, in the beginning, I'm pretty new at this, so
right.
I've been basically doing it for the heart of it, and because I needed to get these songs out. But this being my full time career now, obviously, you know, I got a sister got bills, so we got to work it out to where I can, you know, sing and eat. So he explained everything
exactly.
to me and made sure that I was, made sure that I was on the right path with all that.
Okay, well, let me suggest this also, that you consider in the next year or so putting your songs in a book, but don't just put the lyric. You get somebody that knows how to put the modem to the electric piano, to the computer, to the printer, print your music out, and put it in a book. If you and I meet, I'll show you my song book. But
that's
is one
awesome.
Thing.
I've
that,
never thought about. That's an awesome idea.
Right. And I have done, you are my 280th radio show since 2008. And
wow.
Every single woman that I have had on, I have made the suggestion to. And I think only one woman that I know besides me has a songbook in this organization. So think about that. That is it's a lot of work. It can take you time, but it's very, very rewarding when you see your music in a songbook.
That sounds very exciting, and I think it's something that I have to get on immediately because I never even...
But you don't have to jump on it. Just keep the idea.
Yeah, no,
in your face. Keep it in your face.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because you have a good song.
Thank you.
Now, what is your advice? I'm going to give you 5 more minutes because I want to play Cry sometime. But what is your advice to a young woman coming into the music business?
It's to be persistent. You can't be lazy because it is.
You're going in and out. We're not hearing you.
Is that a little better?
Yes.
Is that a little better? Okay.
Yes.
In large part, my advice would be stick to your guns, know your worth. Don't ever compromise on what you will and will not do as far as, you know, morality for your own success. Know that you can stomp with the big dogs. You can do just as well as the boys do in this music business if you put the work in. I'm an advocate for faith and spirituality, but faith without works is dead. So you got to actually... you know, be willing to get on the grind and put some elbow grease in and do the dirty work. You know, you can't just sit back and wait for somebody to drop it in your lap because you're pretty. You got to do the work. That's my advice. Just stick to it. Be strong about it. Be faithful in yourself and in your, you know, your higher power. But know your worth and don't compromise on that.
So cute won't pay the bills.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Okay. Mm-mm. Now, where are you going to be performing for the rest of this year and coming up?
Well, my band Revival has a steady Friday night gig at Q Bar Burgers and Blues in Fort Lauderdale. It's a tiny little place, and I love it like that because I can see everybody's faces from the stage, and everybody gets involved. It gets pretty packed. We usually start around 9 o'clock. So if you want to get a good seat, then you should probably get there around 8 o'clock, 8:30. The food is awesome. We also perform in Miami at Monty's often. We're going to be there at the end of the month. And I'm sorry. Yeah, we're going to be there at the end of January. But coming into the new year, we don't have a New Year's Eve gig, so I'm just going to enjoy it. I haven't had a New Year's Eve off in I don't even know how long.
I know how that feels.
You
but
know, so I'm excited about
the Q, I'll put the Q Bar every Friday night at 9 o'clock in
yes.
the newsletter. Okay, that will go
yes.
in the newsletter on January the 1st. Well, I'm
perfect.
So
and we have at the end of
you.
January, we have, I'm sorry, just one more. We have at the end of January, we have the Suncoast Blues Festival coming up. If anybody wants to take a road trip with us, we're going to Sarasota.
Okay, well,
and it's a great
why don't
festival.
You
yeah.
send that to me? Usually the 28th is my deadline, but I will
gotcha.
Receive, I will accept you. Just anything you have in January, send it to me in an email, and I'll put it in the newsletter.
Thank you so much.
Now, tell us about Cry Sometimes, quickly.
Cry Sometimes, I wrote it about my friend, my best friend, Ava, because she's this really tough girl. You know, you never see her cry, but one time she had a bit of a breakdown from all the pent-up emotions and everything that was going on in her life. So I wrote that song encouraging people that it's okay to cry sometimes because it's cleansing and it's renewing. That's what that song is all about.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here with me today. We're going to play Cry Sometime, and I'm going to get down to the Q Bar. I was there week before last. So I'm going to get down there to see you. And we
awesome, and you're
going to
bless my
hug.
Stage too, right?
No, I'm retired.
Come on now.
I'm
okay,
done,
well.
But I will give you a couple of my songs and maybe you could sing them.
Okay, I'll take that deal.
Well, thank you, Kat, and keep
the
doing what you're
doing.
The pleasure
was mine, thank you.
All right,
thank you
here
so
we
much.
Go, Cry Sometimes by Kat Riggins.
Go through a tribulation. We all go through our trial. We don't always know how to face it. We get lost once in a while, yes we do. You know that hard times are part of life, but trouble don't last always, and it feels like always you got to fight just to make it to another stormy Monday. You've got to cry sometimes to wash away the dirt. Back to being sometimes. I know you're thinking it's a waste of your time. Ain't no way this can do you no good. So you paint a smile on while you're searching to find what's making you crazy and so insecure. There's no need to hide the pain you feel and try to bear it off everybody else. You gotta know that there's no way you're gonna heal if you try to do it all by yourself. You got to cry sometimes just to wash away the dirt. Maybe if you shed some tears, it can drown out all the hurt. The soul. Sometimes you got to fall to pieces to get back to being whole. You got to cry. Oh, 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 you gotta cry. Gotta cry sometimes.
Cat Riggins, our 311th member of Women in Jazz South Florida. We're going into our 10th year. This is my 280th radio interview. And I'm not so sad to say that this will be the last one for a while. I might pick it up on another podcast. But for right now, I'm going to sign off. Music Woman Radio is signing off from 8 years of production. This is Diva JC, your host. Please visit our website, wijff.org, Women in Jazz, South Florida, promoting women musicians globally. Thank you. Bye-bye.